today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I remember exactly where I was.
All right, Patrick, we are here at Suburbs Fest Midwest.
Yes, Midwest.
At Arlington Ale House.
Arlington Ale House. We are enjoying some Arlington Ale and hanging out here with members of the community. And last night was night one of the fest, and we heard a lot of really talented people, many of whom are here, play some music. And it was just a wonderful time.
It really was. It was fantastic. Long into the night we sang and kept Frank Muffin working at the karaoke. It was great.
I think they enjoyed it. So, all right. So this podcast, though, is Rockin' the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And what we're going to do here now, and this will go over a few days, I think, is we're going to record little mini episodes, 10-minute episodes with people who are here at Suburbs Fest. All right? They get to pick the topic, but as the timer... We'll show you. I have the timer here.
You do?
10 minutes. That's the limit. Okay. Now, you can pick the topic, anything music related, and we'll do our best to, you know, participate.
Shipping.
But if we don't know anything, then you can just talk for 10 minutes if you want.
That's right.
You could do that.
Yeah.
And if anybody's stuck, doesn't have a topic, or maybe they're not sure about their topic, or, you know, they don't want to fill the full 10 minutes or can't or whatever, we also have the bag of questions.
The all-new and improved bag of questions.
These are all new questions, and we can pull a question out of the bag and ask you that question, and that'll provide mild entertainment.
That's right. If you got 5 minutes, then you can do the bag of questions.
How are you guys all doing?
All right.
All right. Okay, so the first subject here is BJ Bonin.
Hello.
There you go. You have to actually speak. It's audio only.
Waving doesn't count as well.
And BJ came down from the Twin Cities down here to Arlington Heights, Illinois, and his band is going to play tomorrow night as we're recording this, as at night three of Suburb Fest. Demolition means progress.
That's right.
Yes.
We're a little stoked.
That's going to be a lot of fun. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to set the timer here for 10 minutes, BJ. And what is your topic?
My topic, to kick things off here, is... songs that you know exactly where you were, who you were with, and what you were doing when you heard them for the first time.
Ooh. All right. So you need to give us an example here so you can start us off.
I have two.
All right.
As a teenager, I recall hearing the song It's Not Funny Anymore by Husker Du late at night, listening when I was supposed to be asleep. At some KFAI, I believe, on the far left hand of the dial in Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And hearing that song with the volume turned so low that all I heard was like a cacophony and the lyrics and maybe that little riff. You know, I couldn't tell you the day or anything, but I remember thinking that I found my niche. This is the music I want to listen to from here on, okay? There's number one.
This was on a radio station?
Oh, yeah.
You heard this?
KFAI.
You had such better radio than I did.
I think
in Northwest Ohio.
I think it transmitted from a 100-watt bulb just up really high, and it somehow atmospheric bounce or something brought it all the way up to the suburb of Blaine. But anyway, the second one, Sheila and a Gig by PJ Harvey.
Huh.
Where I was, again, college radio, listening to KVSC in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And hearing that as I was crossing the, or just about to cross the Mississippi River in heading north towards Bemidji, as I was making my trek from the Twin Cities to Bemidji for college with a dear friend of mine sitting in the seat. And we had to pull over because we were right at the fringe of the station. And we're starting to lose reception. They hadn't given the talk. You know, they haven't talked down their playlist yet. And we had no idea who it was. And it was like, this is the best song I've ever heard. And then because it was all staticky and fuzzy, we thought it was BJ Harvey. And I'm like, we're no way. Because it's like my name, too. And anyway, so we wrote that down. And just finding that record in Bemidji took years,
yeah.
I think. But. The somehow we got a copy of it from someone that I don't remember if they brought it back or mailed it or something like that. But we, and then we all shared it and stuff like that. But that there's two examples. Do you guys have any
wow.
examples?
I'll let you go, Patrick.
Okay. I do have one example. Well, I have a couple. I mean, you longtime listeners to this podcast might have heard me tell the story about the first time I ever heard Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. I was in the back seat of my mom's car and I came on the radio and I was so frightened. It was like literally scared me for. I told her not to put the radio on for like 3 weeks when we were driving in the car because I didn't want that to happen anymore. But this is a college radio station related story. It goes to WTJU at Charlottesville. My friend Steve Healy had a DJ shift. And I, of course, was really into records in 1988, 87. But the Rolling Stone record guide, which I've talked about, only gave television's Marquee Moon like 2.5 or 3 stars and said like the most overrated of the New York punk bands or, you know, whatever, whatever. So I never put it on my list. I never thought I would have to get Marquee Moon or Adventure. And a guy who was going on before, we had come with my friend Steve to sit with him on his radio show, and sit with him meant we took records out of the station and taped them on the tape deck, you know, in the next room. We had our pockets full of blank tape. The guy before us put on Marquee Moon and I was completely mesmerized. He was on the other side of the glass. We were in this other room and the speakers were there. And, you know, just the beginning, darn out, darn out. The hair on my arms is standing up just telling that story. It was incredible. It really was. Turned out to be a pretty good album.
It's a good one. And that was one of those records. I don't remember the first time I heard it, but it absolutely was one of those records that I, even as like a college student, just needed to unwind or whatever, could just sit in my dorm room and put that on and do nothing
yeah.
else but just listen to that. Yeah. It's so engrossing of an album. Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I can think of, and I think I may have shared this story before, but is the first time I heard the Purple Rain album, which was I went to a high school party, and I didn't get invited to a lot of parties, so that first of all sticks out in my mind right there. and instead of hanging out and like I don't know talking with people or doing that sort of thing, somebody had Purple Rain on the stereo, and I hadn't heard it before. This it had just come out, and I was just so taken by what was coming out of these stereo speakers that I just had to sit there with my, you know, underage beer and you know, sit there and just listen to that.
Wow.
you know, and not interact with anybody else, which again is probably not
right
a
next to the speaker,
thing I would do anyway. So, but that was it. And I was just like, this is the most amazing. These are the most amazing songs that
That's
I've heard.
Incredible.
Yeah. Blew my, however old I was then, 16-year-old mind or 15 or whatever. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Anybody? Well, you know, we can open this up to other people here, too, if anybody wants to step on up. This is Eric Lorenz.
Hello, this is Eric. And I remember three songs from the fall of 83. I used to stay up late one night a week and work on my engineering labs and listen to WPGU in Champaign, the college radio station. And three songs I remember are Every Word Means No by Let's Active, Hollywood Holiday by True West, and Love Cats by The Cure. And they just they just were playing out. I think I might have heard two of them on the same night. But, yeah, those were ones that stuck with me for a while.
Wow. Interesting. Anybody else have any examples here? Okay, here comes Justin Steiner, everyone.
Hey, so freshman year at Penn State, I listened to the metal show on the college radio station. And one night, you know, I was listening, doing homework, whatever. And then this incredible grungy sound came on and this wailing singer, and it was Hands All Over by Soundgarden. And I was like, yes, I am all in on this. And that's kind of where I first discovered grunge. Like, that was, you know, the early part of it. And then, I mean, that became the dominant musical force there for quite a while. But that was just absolutely mind-changing.
Hmm. Very cool.
College radio is dictating the day.
Yeah, here comes Bill Mulligan.
Hey, let's see if my voice holds out. I had two experiences like this under highly specific circumstances. I don't know how many of our younger listeners will remember or know about clock radios, where you could set it so that instead of an alarm, the radio station would turn on.
Right.
So I had one of these
Like in Groundhog Day.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Twice, when the radio came on, there was a song playing, and as I slowly woke up, by the time I fully woke up, the song was over, and I didn't know if I had actually heard this song or if I had dreamt it. And it took both. It was the first. They were Someday, Someway by Marshall Crenshaw and Train in Vain. And in both cases, you know, I went to school and I'm like, do you know this song? And I'm trying to sing the song that I half remember to people. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And then finally, both times I did hear it later and confirmed that it was an actual song, not just the beautiful music inside my head, but the. So that's the two times that I can specifically remember that where I was lying in bed trying to wake up when I heard the song.
Well, you can remember it now. You couldn't at the time.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right.
Well, with The Clash, you might not get confirmation because it's not listed on the back of the album.
Yeah. The album. Nope, not there.
The most beguiling thing, it's like the title is not in the lyrics of the song, and then it's not even listed on the packaging.
We'll make it impossible for Mulligan to find out where the song is.
Our biggest, you know, most popular song, and you'd have to really hunt for it.
Yeah.
Tim Hoffman also has an example. Wow, this is proving to be really popular.
Great.
This song, this memory comes from my days as a radio DJ.
Oh, sorry, Tim, you're on time.
Shoot.
No, go ahead.
All right, let me. I started, so let me finish. Oh, no, right. I was a college radio DJ at Ohio State University, at the student union across the way from the dorm. But they had my shift, like, we had to play certain albums. We could put some of our own stuff in there, but we had to play these songs off of these records. And I was still recovering from just like growing up in my hometown where everyone kind of listened to the same thing and you're kind of locked into your like type of music or whatever. But I remember pulling this record from the pile of You Have to Play This, and it was Haircut 100's album Pelican West Plus. But the album cover is like the exact opposite of like the kind of album covers I was used to, like digging into like a heavy metal. I was like pretty knee deep in like Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult and stuff like that. But the song that I had to play was a song called Favorite Shirts, Boy Meets Girl. Now when I listen, then I was kind of like, oh man, I don't know, but it's a great song. And they were like a really, really cool band. But that's exactly in the radio station studio at the time. I still remember that.
That's very cool. I love that song. It is a great song. Breezy. Yeah. Jangly. Wonderful.
That's great. Okay. This has been a great topic, BJ.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Didn't think it would go over this well, but the results speak for themselves.
Way to lead us off. You're like Kirby Puckett with that home lead-off home run. Yeah, absolutely. Now, to everybody else here, you know, don't feel intimidated. Come on up, be in the chair, you know, and if you want to just talk about yourself for 10 minutes, again, you can do that. You don't have to open it up to the whole group. Okay. David Lane is here. Hey, David Lane. Okay. Before you go, BJ, we are going to give you a question from the bag of questions, all right? Shuffle papers. This is the old question. Okay, here's the new questions. No, I'm going to pull one out, and, you know, here we go. Are we ready?
Why is a duck?
All right, BJ, your question is, how many eggs can you eat? I guess in one sitting. Yeah. I mean, you can answer however you want, but how many eggs can you eat?
Do I have to dislocate my jaw? usually I go for two.
Oh, I thought it would be something great. Like, I can eat 6 eggs, 10 eggs, the eggs of 10 men. All right.
Yeah.
That sounded weird. Okay. Let's move on.
Let's definitely move on from that, folks.
All right. Thank you, BJ. Yeah, all right. So we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
With,
we'll do this again.
The next person in the thing there. So it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Why is a duck?